This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 532 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Nancy Schoen, chair of the Franklin Cultural District Committee. We had our conversation via virtual conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the upcoming art walk scheduled for June 11, 12, and 13. The events will take place on the Town Common, at the Black Box, Historical Museum, and in and around the downtown itself for the walk. The recording runs around 18 minutes, so let's listen to my conversation with Nancy. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 here in the Franklin area dial zone. Nancy Schoen, welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Steve, thank you for having me. It's exciting to be part of the show, and we have some interesting things we'd love to share with the Franklin community.
Yeah, we've got coming up the second week of June, Art Walk. Where did this come around to? And clearly we get into details, but just give us kind of the first initial teaser. What's the Art Walk?
Well, the Art Walk is the brainchild of the Franklin Cultural District Committee. We had received a grant from the Mass Cultural Council, and we discussed as a committee what would be the best way for us to utilize this grant. And in light of the pandemic and not having the opportunity to really do too many live events at all in the last year and a half, we started to think about the possibility of maybe having something that even though people wouldn't do in a big, large crowd, that they could do that would draw people down into the cultural district, but also provide an opportunity for the visual artists in Franklin to display their great work. Because we have lots of performance venues in Franklin, but we don't have a permanent place where our visual artists can display their work. They do it at the library, they do it at the town hall, and occasionally the Black Box has been very generous donating the space so artists can have shows there as well. But we really wanted something that would welcome more artists and also encourage, you know, the economic development of downtown, bring people down into the cultural district so they can see some of the great stores down there. And also maybe while they're down there, go into one of the many restaurants and enjoy a great meal or a nice beverage and some appetizers. So that's where this started, as just looking how we could engage as many of our cultural district partners as possible. So with that said, we, you know, sent out a grant application to all of our cultural district partners and encouraged them to apply. And that's how it began.
And since you've mentioned cultural district, and for those who don't necessarily know or are aware of Nancy Schoen, let's go a little bit deeper into, okay, what's Nancy's Franklin story and how is she now with the cultural district?
So I have been a resident of Franklin for 36 years now, which is hard for us even to believe.
Time does fly.
It sure does. We were moving back from Michigan where my husband had been in graduate school. And we literally drew a circle around Boston because we knew he was going to be working in Boston. And I basically applied pretty much to every single school district within that 35 miles. And this is prior to any email. So it was all done snail mail. Mm-hmm. And Franklin was where we landed. I didn't really know much about Franklin. I learned. And when I came down for my interview, the only thing between, which is currently exit 17, but not for much longer, I understand, and the Horace Mann Middle School, were very few establishments. There was a Rico's supermarket and there was, you know, the Caravan restaurant and a small gas station, but not much else. And now obviously those of you that are well aware of that stretch of 140, it has certainly changed and continues to change. But so I began teaching in 1983 and I enjoyed my 33 years full-time as a music teacher in the Franklin Public Schools. And the last 11 years of that, I was the director of music. And then when I retired, I did two more years of mentoring a couple of different people in the district. And then I directed the after school string program and taught in it. And now with the pandemic, I haven't done that. So I basically was involved with the Franklin Public Schools, believe it or not, for 37 years and enjoyed almost every single minute of that. Feel really lucky to have landed in Franklin, an absolutely wonderful community to raise a family in and also a great school district to work in.
It is indeed. And I think others have heard of that. And certainly my daughters had benefited. Carolyn had the viola. So she was in one of your chamber groups or orchestra groups at some point in time along the way. I think Allison was more on the choral side. So you at least probably were aware of her as they went through the schools in the years we were here earlier. And now they're out and about and doing other things. So
it's a wonderful music program. It continues to grow under the outstanding leadership of Diane Plouffe. I think they've done a tremendous job this year during the pandemic, bringing the musical performances out to the public through, digital media and Zoom performances. They've really done a wonderful job with that. And it's nice to see that they're still working. It's obviously going to be a lot of work rebuilding because they weren't able to start beginners and weren't able to play much inside schools this year, but right. They practiced outside just to keep things going.
When the weather coordinated and cooperated, yes.
Yes, it wasn't very often, but they put on some outstanding performances and students continued to be able to audition for our district and all state ensembles. And again, they auditioned, were accepted and participated virtually. So it was really nice to see some of those core, really important experiences for students in the music program to continue.
Yeah, so. To your point, I think even during the pandemic, they still had a fairly significant presence in the central district. There were several awards, and I think there's still some performances coming, if I recall correctly, albeit virtual, but they're coming. Yeah.
Yes. So really nice to see those students continue to grow and mature. And, you know, and really, I think for some of the performances, it was really kind of challenging to be online and perform because it was, you know, you were it, you know, for some of the performances. And they had to make sure that their recording, they learned a lot about how to record themselves.
The technical details of how does it sound? I mean, hearing your voice via Zoom, et cetera, and seeing your face via Zoom, that's one challenge to get used to. But recording and then making sure whether it's the viola, violin, whatever the instrument is, it comes out the way it's supposed to. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yes. Very grateful for the wonderful music program. And to all our listeners, if you have young ones, get them involved. It's just a wonderful way for them to develop musically, but also the social aspects of the program are just phenomenal. Wonderful, wonderful group of students. Really make a lot of connections. And I know my own children, all four of them participated, not that they had a choice, but they are still very connected to their friends who are part of the music program with them.
Yeah, it does have lasting benefits. I know my daughters still appreciate that. And it's one of the things that I think, in addition to some of the sports activities, particularly running, it's kind of a lifelong thing you can continue to do. And there's no reason why you can't continue to play after you've gone out and finished school.
It's really thrilling for me to bump into a former student who will tell me that they are continuing to play or that they are part of this particular group. And one of the things that I really loved was I had several students come back who were actually music majors and performers who would then do master classes for me, current students.
Yes.
And I think that's probably doesn't get better than that as a teacher.
And that, I think, kind of segues into back to the artwork. That's the artwork. That's one of the reasons why you're trying to do this, albeit in a socially distanced kind of outdoors, but, you know, bring art to the people and bring the people to art in the cases as you're doing.
Right. And we wanted to prepare because obviously with the pandemic, it's hard to anticipate what the regulations were going to be, you know, a month down the road, 2 months down the road. So we had to create something that would be accessible even if stores maybe were closed.
Right.
So really the foundation of this, as I said, was to highlight the work of the visual artists. But in addition to that, the Franklin Public Library, who has two outstanding children librarians, they are just phenomenal. We are so lucky to have them. They every year do a summer reading program, and the theme for the summer reading program this year is animals. So they also got involved, and they asked the Franklin artists to create animals that they could use as part of a scavenger hunt.
Okay.
So animals are also going to live in some of the same places that the visual art is living in some of the downtown businesses, but some of them will be in separate locations as well. So it was just another great way to get the Franklin artists involved and to have that nice collaboration between the library and the visual artists.
Yep.
So there will be art displayed in at least 15 different businesses throughout Franklin, most of them in the cultural district, but not all. And there will also be a scavenger hunt that I'm not going to tell you where those animals are going to be,
Hopefully. Can't give away the secrets. They have to go scavenge and find them.
You're going to have to go scavenge. So the way that you can get involved with a scavenger hunt, if you have a young child or young children who are school age, you can go to the library and pick up a summer reading packet. They'll be available June 1st. And if you can't get to quite to the library, please come to the Art Walk on Friday, June 11th at 4 p.m. because the Hodgepodge Puppet will be there. And they will also be distributing these summer reading packets. And in the summer reading packet will be information about the scavenger hunt. And also the Franklin Art Association, who got a grant as part of this art walk, created packets, art packets, that will be also part of the summer reading program. And they actually are creating 600 of them, some for the younger students and about 100 for the older students. And it will be animal-based. And there will also be some colored pencils that will go along with it. So mm-hmm. It picks up a summer reading packet, can not just get involved in the summer reading program, but you can do the scavenger hunt. And then you can, in your free time, enjoy some artwork, creating some of your own artwork as a young person. That pretty exciting be. About this collaboration that we can involve, you know, the artists, the library, and a lot of our Franklin families.
Certainly. That sounds delightful. Absolutely. Yeah.
And also our businesses. I don't want to leave them out. They have been so very gracious of donating their window space. So this artwork is going to be displayed in the windows so that people don't have to go into stores. They're certainly encouraged if it's a store that they are interested in, but they don't have to go in, and the artwork will be there. And a side of the artwork will be a QR code that you can scan with your phone to find out more information about the artist and also the business. So again, a nice collaboration between the artists and the businesses, and a way that we can support, the artists and the economic development and the businesses in our cultural district.
Yeah, it shows the interconnection, because clearly we can't do it alone. I think that's become clear during the pandemic. So we might as well help each other.
Definitely. So very exciting. And in addition to the visual art, we've kind of focused on the visual art. There'll be many, many different performances throughout the weekend. There'll be one on the Common that is actually a collaboration between the Franklin Public Schools and a wonderful violinist, Sarah Whitney, and part of the Franklin Public School Music Department got a grant to sponsor Sarah to come and do a day-long masterclass with the music students. And then she's going to be coming to the Common at 5 p.m. on that Friday evening. And she will be performing both by herself and also with some of the Franklin High students.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yes. Yeah, and coordinated too. I think that's the second week that the farmers market is also open. So clearly people can go to the farmers market, and if they just happen to remember, oh, look it, there's something else here going on too.
Right. It's wonderful that we can coordinate and piggyback. And we're hoping that maybe this will bring out a few more people to the farmers market, and that the people that came to the farmers market will also take part in something, a wonderful performance, and enjoy the cultural arts and maybe pick up a summer reading packet all in one spot. Mm-hmm. So really exciting that we're able to do this. We're grateful that the outdoor capacity has increased.
Yes.
I think people will be very appropriate, I'm sure, in social distancing, but it's so exciting. We're just keeping our fingers crossed for good weather.
Yeah, patience will still be required. But, I think people, certainly in Franklin, based on the numbers we've seen with continued success, we've done what's been needed to do. So for a good cause, I think it'll be easy for us to do what we need to do and stay socially distanced, to wait in line for, either viewing or following along the clues on the scavenger hunt. And yeah, but then there's more than happens just on that Friday, if I recall, right?
Right, on Saturday, starting at noontime, obviously, we encourage everybody to do the art walk and look at the art. But from 2 to 4 on the Common, we will have a Latin jazz funk group that will be performing. And Mark Shalansky, and it's called Join the Club. So we hope people will come out to hear them. And then we will, on that evening at the Black Box, there's going to be a live performance that we really encourage you to go and participate in. And it sounds like a very interesting show about a young person in a journal. So I encourage you to go on our website and look up the details of that and go to the Black Box website if you're interested. We certainly encourage you to take part in all the different activities that are going on throughout the weekend, both on the Common, the free events, and also at the Black Box. And we are also involving our historical museum. We're so excited that we're going to be able to, you know, have some performances there. We are going to be having at 11 a.m., at 12 p.m., and 1 p.m., three separate local pianists who are going to be performing different cultural works. And that's free and open to the public. So we encourage you to come and visit the historical museum and also maybe attend one of those performances. So pretty exciting.
And for those who are listening, instead of scrambling to catch a piece of paper and a pencil, in the show notes, we'll include links to the Cultural District page, to the details, so you can go and find out more as those events get confirmed and shared, and then the day actually happens. You'll be able to find out what's the latest.
Right. And there's also on Friday evening, I forgot to mention that there will be a complimentary reception at the Black Box that we encourage, under the tent at the Black Box, that we encourage everybody to come to. It's free and open to the public. There'll be a toast, but it will be a way to kick off this wonderful weekend. And we're grateful for the generosity of the Black Box and the Mercer family for allowing us to use that space and to share that space with us to celebrate the arts and come together as a community. So it'd be kind of nice to see a lot of familiar faces. It would be great to see new faces. So please join us. And mm-hmm. that will be happening from 6 to about 7 o'clock on Friday, June 11th.
Right. So you'll still have time to do scavenger hunt or stop for a bite to eat or whatever.
Absolutely. We tried to stagger the events so you could see part of everything and still fit almost everything in. So yep. we're encouraging people to do that. And then it continues again on Sunday from 12 and on. Please view the artwork wherever or whenever you would like. And then at 4 p.m., there'll be a free performance of Don Krishnaswamy, a local violist who is truly outstanding, plays with the Boston Pops. He's just a wonderful musician. And he's going to be performing a premiere work. So we encourage you to come along. That's going to be at 4 p.m. at the Black Box on Sunday, June 13th. So we figured that would be a wonderful way to conclude the weekend with, you know, something unique, something that's performed by a Franklin musician in a Franklin venue. So right in the heart of the cultural district. So really excited about this whole weekend and all that it has to offer. And there'll be other things along the way. So please stay tuned. Please go to our website, franklinculture.org. And there's a calendar there of all of these events with links to all the different places that are going to be included in the art walk. So we encourage you to do that as well.
Indeed. Lots to happen and lots happening as art happens here in Franklin, particularly around that weekend with the art walk. Well, thank you for taking your time, Nancy, and I'm sure we'll come back again to get into a little bit more details, perhaps bring some others into the conversation as we approach that art walk weekend. And we're looking forward to a good turnout and a good time.
Well, thank you, Steve, very much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I just want to remind everybody that this was made possible by a grant from the Mass Cultural Council. And some of the events are being sponsored by the Franklin Cultural Council as well. And we most certainly couldn't do this without the great support that we receive from the town of Franklin. So very excited that we're able to do this. We're really looking forward to celebrating the arts, supporting the economic development of downtown Franklin. And we hope to see a lot of you there.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.